Amen. How many ready for some Bible? Well, I feel like a Bible thumper, so I'm just going to thump a little bit today. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And I want to share some things with you. I really wanted to spend a little more time in preparation of the message tonight, but the Spirit of God just rushed me a little bit. And I think we'll still get some meat and taters out of this chapter. Amen. And I love hearing the Word of God, love preaching on the Word of God, and I love seeing God's Word performed in our lives. Joshua chapter 2, let's stand, verse 15. I'm going to read down to verse 21. We're talking about Rahab the harlot, her faith, and it begins in verse 15. We break into the story. Then Rahab let them down by a cord, that's the two spies, through a window. For her house was upon a town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in your house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quiet, or we'll be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And I want to talk tonight about the faith of Rahab the harlot. And I want to draw your attention to some things that's very, very important. I'm just going to share, before I have you seated, I'm just going to share some thoughts about the rope that was used, that Rahab used from her window to lower the two spies down. Those are Israel. Those are the two spies that Joshua sent to check out Jericho. And she lowered them down by a rope. And in verse 15, that rope is called in verse 15 a cord. It says, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Then in verse 18, it calls that cord a thread. Verse 18, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's household home unto thee. And notice you see this same rope that was used, called a cord and now a thread. Verse 21, I want you to notice that this same cord that they used to lower the two spies down to get away is now called a line, a line. And so you have this rope called a cord, a thread, and a line. Notice in verse 21, and she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. So notice there's three descriptions of this rope. Cord, verse 15, thread, verse 18, and line, verse 21. And I want you to catch a hold of that, because we're going to share something that maybe you haven't seen before. You know, when the Bible says rope, I wish it just stay rope, 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 rope. But they change it from rope to cord, from cord to line, to from line to thread. And let me know there's a difference between a thread and a rope. And there's a difference between a cord and a line, L-I-N-E. So I just want to share some things with you tonight that'll help you on this Wednesday night. Amen. You may be seated. Talking about the faith of Rahab the harlot. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Now, Joshua is getting ready to send the Israeli troops into Jericho. The first battle that they're going to take part in is in that giant city called Jericho. Most people know Jericho by the place they marched around it 13 times. On the seventh time around, they shouted and the walls fell flat. Most people understand that Jericho was one of the most fortified cities in Canaan land, or in the Canaan land area. And so Joshua is getting ready to go to battle. And so instead of sending 12 spies out, like they did in Moses' time in Canaan land, and by the way, they sent 10 too many, because the 10 spies came back with a bad report. They should have sent two in the start and two in the beginning. And so Joshua learned his lesson, so he sends two spies. And those two spies are to go into the city of Jericho and find out just its weaknesses, its strength, how it would be, and what should be done in order to conquer the city. And so these two spies, it doesn't give them by name, that they're not named at all, but they are Israeli spies. And they come into Jericho, and the first place they stop as they come into Jericho is a very busy area. It's called the harlot's house. And they knew that they would be accepted there, so they went to Rahab the harlot. And while they were there, the king of Jericho says, he gets word that there were some spies, strangers in the city. And so the king of Jericho wants to find these spies in order to interrogate them and probably kill them. And so when the king of Jericho decided that he wanted to find him, he heard that they were at Rahab's place. And the Bible says that Rahab lived up on a wall in the city, and she had a flat roof on her place where she dwelled, and she hid the two spies under some stalks of flax. They used stalks of flax to make the roof in their house. And so she just piled a bunch of stalks of flax over them and buried them out of sight of the king of Jericho. And they come to Rahab and says, "We have report that you had two men come in here, strangers, and we believe they're spies. We want to know where they're at." And Rahab says, "Well, they're already gone. They came and went. They're gone. I don't know where they went, but they're gone. And if you'll hurry and head toward Jordan, hurry and head toward the coastline, you can catch them if you really hurry." And so they got their armies together, and they rode out of town, dust fogging everywhere, and they're going to go find those two spies and going to put them to death. Well, them two spies were under stalks of flax. And Rahab had hid them hid. She'd had them hid. And so what she did was, is after they were gone and they shut the gate, she went to them and got them out of the stalks of flax, and she said, "Rise and get out of here. You need to go, and you need to get out of here as quick as you can." And so she says to them, "If you'll go to the mountains," she said, "the armies of Jericho, the king went that way, you go that way." How many know when the devil's going that way, you need to go that way? Amen? And so they went that way, and the king of Jericho's army went that way. And so she said, go up into the mountains, spend 3 days, just take your leisure, give them time to give up and come back, and then you can go on your way. But I want you to make me some promises. And so Rahab says to the two witnesses, give me a promise that you will not conquer my family and conquer me, that you'll let us live and not die when you come back to conquer the city. And so she did let the two spies down through the window by a cord, and a cord is a rope, and they allowed the two spies to go down the rope and to run for the mountains. I want to talk to you a little bit about Rahab's faith, and I want you to listen carefully because it's important that you catch a glimpse of what the Spirit of God is saying in these verses of Scripture. First of all, you see, Rahab's faith was a saving faith. It was a saving faith. Rahab had a fear of God, the God of Israel. In fact, it says in verse 10 and 11 of chapter 2 of Joshua, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. She's speaking to the spies. And you came out of Egypt. We heard about your great deliverance out of Pharaoh. And when and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites and were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And so we see in Rahab's saving faith is that she had a fear of God. Oh, I wish more people would have a fear of God. And this woman in sin, this harlot, had a fear of God. And I think her spirit was like this. This can't go on. This kind of lifestyle that I'm living can't go on. This kind of wickedness in Jericho can't go on. This kind of turbulence, this kind of evil, wicked time, and this darkness over the city cannot go on. And I think she felt in her heart that it wasn't going to be a permanent thing, that God was going to come and God was going to judge her. Her faith was a saving faith because she feared God. And she not only feared God, she knew that judgment was upon her life. She knew that judgment was upon the city she lived. And I want you to know, a person that doesn't know Christ, judgment is upon their life. And I believe that America, unless it gets itself straightened out real quick, judgment is upon this great land of America. And someone says, yeah, but there are great Christians in America. Yes, I think there's some wonderful Christians in America. I'm talking to some in this room right now. There are some wonderful Christians in America, but we are a very, very small dot on the geographical area of the United States of America. And a lot of them cry, rah, 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 God, 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 and they don't know God, and they're still living in sin. And this can't go on. Sin can't go on. And Rahab knew that the city of Jericho was so wicked that God had even instructed Joshua, when you go into the city, you kill them all. You kill the men, you kill the women, you remove everything out of that city. It's mine. Don't you take any possessions from Jericho. All of it is mine. And she knew that this God of heaven was awesome. And there's something born when a person's born into this earth as a little bitty baby, there's something put in that little baby's heart that says there's a God up there. There's something put in every little baby's heart that there is someone really big, higher than he or she. And it just takes grown-ups to mess their little hearts up. It just takes circumstances to mess little hearts up, because you find no children that don't believe in God. All children believe in God. All babies and little bitty children believe in God until some brutish sinner tries to steer them the wrong direction. Amen? No wonder Jesus Christ said it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and cast in the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Amen? And so Rahab the harlot's faith was a saving faith because she believed. She said, "We heard about you coming across the Red Sea." She told the two spies, "We heard about Israel coming across the Red Sea. We heard about Pharaoh being drowned in the sea. We heard about the great victories that you had. We heard about that. We heard about your God, and your God is so incredible and so powerful. We heard about that. And when we heard that God had parted the Red Sea, and we saw what God done to them kings, king after king after king after king, God crushed them under his mighty hand of power, just destroyed them to the children of Israel. God gave them victory after victory after victory." And the Bible says that Jericho, their heart melted and they were fearful and afraid because they knew that Israel was marching their way. They knew because Israel was marching their way to their big city. I want you to know they knew God was marching his way to the great city of Jericho. And I want you to know God is marching his way to the great cities of the United States of America. God is marching his way to sin and unbelievers, and he's making his will known. And I rejoice in the fact that hopefully we can have a renewal in this land. Hopefully we can have a revival in this land. Hopefully we can have a reformation in this land. Hopefully things will turn around and there'll be a landslide of Jesus' power. There'll be a landslide of God's glory. There'll be a landslide of men and women getting saved and the power of God moving in this great land of America. But I want you to know where there's a landslide, there's a mudslide, and God will bring judgment in the midst of the landslide. And those that reject Christ will be doomed, and those that receive Christ will be forever forgiven and given eternal life. Now, if God chooses to give this great land a little more grace, I'm going to take every bit of it I can get. How about you? Not that I got to say either way. I can pray that God, please do this and please do that, but I can't order God what he can do and what he can't do. That's simple. And I do believe we're in the last days, so I think that no matter how we pray, God's going to have his way in a whirlwind, and it doesn't really matter. But I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad the Lord's coming soon. Yeah. Doris, the Lord can come any moment. Amen. And as I said earlier today, when we hear the toot, we're going to scoot. We're going to get out of here. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and God's going to do great things in our lives. Amen. And we'll just rejoice in that. But Rahab the harlot, her faith was a fear of God. Her faith was God is big, God is incredible, God is amazing, and God's going to judge wickedness. Listen, no one's going to get saved until they have a fear of God, knowing that God's going to judge, and know that God is incredible and God can do anything in one's life, whether you be a harlot or a self-righteous person in some buried up religious church somewhere. God is incredible. Amen. God is supernatural. God is wonderful. Amen. And it makes no difference how much starch those reverends put on them before they go to church, and how stiff-necked they are, and how stiff and how the programs go. We don't need show. We don't need a program. We need a moving of the Spirit of God in our church. We don't need a show. Listen, we don't need a show. We don't need someone to get up and toot their horn and streak across the platform. Look at me. We don't need a show. We don't need the chatter of a bunch of people that are trying to draw attention to themselves. What we need is God to sit down in the middle of this place and change our lives and change the lives of people everywhere. Now, I don't believe we have anybody in our church that way, because we got great singers and we got great people that work in the church, the teachers, and so we say, "Well, you're preaching to the choir." I know, but that's all right. If the others don't show up, I'll just take it out on you. Amen. We want you to stay in the choir. Let's put it like that. We got great singers. We got great great church, and I thank God for that. But listen to me. Rahab, she believed that God was real. And that is a first in our lives to be born again. You must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the next thing I want to point out is Rahab, her faith was hers and not another's. Rahab's faith was hers and not another's. She believed in the coming judgment of God. Now look at verse 12 and 13 of Joshua 2, chapter 2. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that is the two spies, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save my life, and my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sister, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, I want you to understand that she knew that judgment was coming. And I know, and you that are in this room, you know that judgment is coming. And I'm so thankful that I'm covered in the blood of Jesus and covered in the grace of God. But Rahab knew. And I want you to know that we need to have that awareness that God is coming. And God expects something out of each one of us in this room. And God is coming, and God is going to judge the nations. And the Bible says that all nations will be turned into hell that forget God. The Bible says very clearly that the wicked bring great horrific pain to the nation. And I'm glad that we can spend time in prayer for our leaders. Number three, Rahab's faith was her stabilizer. Rahab's faith was her stabilizer. She had a readiness to act or to obey the instructions of those two spies. She had a desire to obey those two spies and what they told her to do. As those two spies were going through the window and out down to the ground, she says, "Remember me, give me a token." And those two spies said to her, "If you'll take this scarlet thread and let it be displayed when we return, we'll make sure that the house, your home with the scarlet thread is hanging out the window, we'll make sure no one dies in your house. We'll make sure, we promise you that we'll protect you. We promise you we'll watch over you. We promise you that we will spare your life and the life of others." Now, Israel is going to come in and destroy the city. And they did. They totally devastated Jericho. And what a lot of people think, all them Israelites were so mean. They were so cruel. What if I was to tell you that was only the tool that God used? It was God's judgment on Jericho. It wasn't Israel's. Remember that. It was God's judgment on Israel. It wasn't Israel's judgment on Jericho. God simply used Israel. Now, God may use a missile or may use an atomic weapon. I don't know. He doesn't need to, but he might. But in those days, he used armies. And, of course, he could conquer them himself. And by the way, he did do a lot of things himself. And I think the closer we get to the end of this age, we're going to see God do a lot of things himself. And we're going to go, "Wow, that was God." Amen? When a big old volcano belches out and it just covers two or three nations around the world, we're going to say, "Wow, that was God." Amen? When a tsunami hits so hard that it just wipes out half of Japan and parts of the coastal lands, we'll say, "Wow, that was God." Now, someone say, "Well, that's not necessarily God, because there is the upheaving of the nature and the upheaving of..." But I want you to understand, nothing hits this planet without God's permission. Nothing hits this planet without God's permission. Have you ever considered why the bigger planets are over on the other side and the little planets between Earth and the sun are smaller planets? You ever wondered why the bigger ones were back behind us? Because all the meteors and comets are going toward the sun. Because of the sun's gravity, all the meteors and all the asteroids are going toward the sun. They're not coming from the sun to us. They're coming from the darkness and the outer space because of the gravitation of the rotation of this solar system. And the reason God put great big planets between us and all those asteroids, they're like linebackers in a football. They're just blocking these things. I mean, the Jupiter gets hit. Wow, I'm glad Jupiter got it and not us. He said, well, Jupiter's on the other side. Well, Neptune, and maybe I need to go back to science, but I want you to understand that those bigger planets are linebackers. They stop these asteroids from hitting us. The Bible's very clear. In the end days, those asteroids, meteors, showers will begin to hit us at the end days, at the end. And so God chooses his timing. And I'm glad that God chose to give me eternal life, and glad it won't be long. We may be out of here. Amen. And he may come before the election. I said he may come before the election. We may beg him to come after the election. I don't know. But he may come. And when he does come, we're getting out of here. Amen. I told someone a while ago, if I have to stand in line to vote for 10 hours, I'm going to stand there in 10 hours and eat cheeseburgers all the day. Or call for pizza or whatever. Amen. But Rahab, the harlot, she knew that judgment was coming. But she believed in great God. The stabilizer was hers. Her faith was her stabilizer. Rahab's faith believed that God was a God of his word. Listen to me. God is a God of his word. As sure as you and I are sitting in this room, this Bible is true. And God is a covenant maker, and God has given us his word, and God has said to us in these last hours, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Bible says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. This Bible, God has promised us that he will return again. And when he returns again, we're going to be caught up as Christians, as the church, caught up to meet Jesus in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a promise. And Rahab believed in the promise of the two spies. Those two spies said, if you won't tell on us, If you'll keep it a secret, if you won't tell the king of Jericho what we're doing or why we were here, if you'll be quiet about it, and if you'll watch over us and just trust us because you've been good to us, you've hid us under the stalks of flax and you've let us get away. If you will just, we'll do something good for you. And Rahab says, yes, I want you to do something good for me, and I want you to do something good for mama and papa and brother. Brother and sister and all the other children, I want you to do something good for the whole household. Amen. And the two spies said, okay, you get mama and papa, brother and sister, the little bitty baby, you get all theirs, you get all their grandkids, you get them all together, and you squeeze them in. None of this social distancing. Squeeze them in to your little house. And let that scarlet thread hang out that window. And when we come in and conquer the city, we'll make sure everybody in your house is okie dokie. Amen? We'll make sure no one dies. But if someone comes out of their house into the street, strutting around, I'm not afraid of Israel. I'm not afraid of God. And someone comes strutting out of your house and they don't listen to me and don't listen to God, don't listen to the 12 spies, then they said their blood's going to be on them. But if you stay in your house, stay in your home, then we'll make sure that you are kept by the power of God. And that's exactly what happened. The two spies went back and told Joshua, we had a lady that was good to us. She believes in our God. She has a reverence to our God. She fears the judgment coming. She stood up for us. She watched over us. She's not going to tell on us. She's keeping the secret. And we told her if she'll leave that rope hanging out the window, same thread that we climbed down off of to get out of there, she'll leave that scarlet thread hanging out and that cord hanging out, that robe hanging out. If you're just that rope hanging out, when we get to the city, Joshua, just put your focus on that scarlet thread. Focus on that scarlet cord. Focus on that scarlet robe. Because when we go in, Joshua, we promised her, as the Lord liveth, we promised her that we would spare her life and her family and everyone that applies to her household. And did you know God's a God of his word? Amen. God is a God of his word. And God has promised us some things. Amen. He promised that we'll get to walk the streets of gold and see the walls of jasper, and we'll see the heavenly city. God has promised us eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not only that, Rahab's faith was a sympathizing faith. What does that mean? She said, I want to be saved, me. But what I want my father and my mother and my brother and my sister and all that I have and all that they have, and I want you to deliver our lives from death. And here's what the Bible says when the children of Israel came into Jericho. You know the story. They marched around the walls of Jericho. They fell flat. And I often wondered, Rahab was living on top of that wall. And they marched around it, and the wall fell flat. Didn't say it tumbled over. If it would have just crumbled and tumbled over, they still couldn't have got over the wall, because there was enough debris from that wall that they couldn't have climbed over all the debris and the rock slide and the bricks that had fallen. So the wall had to be shoved down by the hand of God right into the dirt. Archaeologists tell us today that that wall is flat to the ground, just like something had took the walls of Jericho and just shoved it down into the ground. You say, well, how'd God do that? Don't know. But some way, God caused them walls to come down flat. And the children of Israel marched across, and Rahab's house was there. And she was spared. Thank God for that. Isn't that wonderful? Think about what we're saying. And so I want to wrap this up and talk to you about some things that it's important to me. A cord, everybody say a cord, a thread, and a scarlet line, L-I-N-E, line. And so the Bible is very clear that the two spies were let down by Rahab out of the window by a cord, and that cord is a rope. And a rope is a several strands that have been bound together, twisted together. And so I want you to know the rope was for the two spies of the Lord God of Israel. And I want you to know that you and I as Christians, we have a rope. We don't live by a thread. We have a rope. We have the twisting power of God. We have prayer. We have forgiveness. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have power to get us out, down and out from trouble. We have power to take us over. We have a rope that's thrown to us for our deliverance. We have the rope of God, and we always have something to climb higher on, always have something to go down when God calls us down to the battle. We always have strength. And to the two spies, there was the rope, the cord. But to the Rahab, the harlot, there was the thread. The scarlet thread, because she was a sinner and she was hanging by a thread. And we could preach all day long about how that thread, that picture of scarlet, the bloodline flows through the whole Bible. We can talk about the bloodline flowing through the whole Bible. And if I had time to do that and I was a TV evangelist, I'd just get into that right now. But I want you to know, I think the significance is that those two spies said to Rahab, if you'll leave this thread out the window, you may feel like you're hanging by a thread, but it will make sure that when we see this thread, this scarlet thread, we'll spare you. And then it's changed when it comes to Rahab and her family. It's now called a line, L-I-N-E, a line. A scarlet line. You think about that. Why didn't the Bible just say rope or cord, or just say it all the way through, cord, rope, cord? But no, he uses three descriptions of this rope. He uses a description of cord, thread, and line. You use a line to measure. You use a line for many different things. But for Rahab's family, there was this scarlet line of hope. Now, it might interest you, and I'm not going to keep you much longer, but it might interest you that the cord and the thread are not the same Hebrew or Aramaic word. And if you want to see that, you can get your Strong Concordance and look it up, and you'll see that the same word is not used for this scarlet thread and this cord. And so the thread and the cord is a means of tying on to something. In fact, it says about the cord, and I wrote this down because you can't miss this. This is so incredible. The definition of line, you can look it up yourself. She bound the scarlet line in the window. She took a scarlet rope, the line in the window. And that word lion, L-I-N-E, means an attachment of hope, an expectancy, and a longing for. And so God gives to Rahab and her family an expectancy, a hope that when this judgment comes, the circle will not be broken. They sing the song, "Will the circle be broken or be unbroken?" I would sing it to you, but I love you guys. But I do believe it's God's will that all of our family be saved. I do believe it's God's will that all of our grandchildren be saved. I believe it's God's will that our mama and our papa and our brothers and our sisters and their family and their children all be saved. I believe it's God's will. And when they left that scarlet thread out the window, or that lion out the window, it was saying, we believe what Rahab has experienced. It only takes one person in a wicked family to get right with God and change the whole family. Hello? No, it takes one wicked person in a whole house full of wicked people to break the chain of insanity, to break the chain of poverty and drugs and drunkenness. Just one person. Just one person steps up and says, no, we're not putting up with this. We're not going to have this. I believe God. And that's what Rahab did. She stepped forward and said, no, we're not going to stay this way. And of all people, God picked a harlot. He didn't pick Goody Two-Shoes down the road. He picked a harlot. Amen. He picked a harlot. And not only did he pick the harlot to change her whole family and to be saved, and her mom and her papa and things be changed in her life, he chose her to be part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The bloodline flows through that, at least on the lady's side. And so Rahab is considered part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone said, well, I read a book where it said Rahab married Joshua. Well, I don't think so. Because in the genealogy, it says that Rahab was married to Solomon. I don't know which Solomon. I'm sure there was more Solomons out there than just the Solomon we know. But I'm sure that he would have made room for one more woman if he had had the chance. Come on, you'll get that by UPS after a while. You'll be in bed saying, I can't believe the pastor said that. And you'll wake up your loved one and say, hey, do you know what he said? Yeah. He said, Solomon, just add another one to it. Amen. Come on, no big deal. One more woman doesn't matter. I mean, he's already, one. It just takes one to make Solomon insane. Another one ain't going to matter. Amen. I love my wife. She is awesome. And I am grateful for her. She's worth more than a million women. She's a tremendous lady. I love her with all my heart. She is my best friend. She's a great lady, and I want to live with her forever. I mean, she's wonderful. And you men can brag about your spouse when you get a chance, but not now. I don't want to hear it, all that mushy stuff. But I got a wonderful wife, and I'm thankful for that. But, you know, she keeps me lined out. When we went to Tucson, I heard these words all the way down and all the way back. Your blinker's on. And I said, Judy, I wouldn't hear that all the time. If they had put a warning on this car, I wouldn't have to take you with me. But because I leave the signal on, I need you with me so you can help me drive. Hey, the light's green. Hey, the light's red. Amen. Watch what you're doing. Amen. Hello. And then you get a GPS with a female voice. You turn, please. Where are you going? Amen. And why don't they make a UPS with a man's voice? But no, they make it with a woman's voice. I guess it's because we'd be in shock if we heard a man talking to us on the GPS. But my wife has been so good to me. And you know, I just like to get in the car. You know, my wife says, I'm cold. The air conditioner's up too. Anybody, you men know my sorrow. Any of you men in this room know my sorrow. I'm cold. That cold air's hit me on the head. Man, I love her so much, but I wish she would be a little more hot as far as climate. Yeah, I'm cold. And you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to just get in the car, turn the air conditioning as 50 below if I can, turn the high blowers going, put the vents in my face, get in the car, get out on 65 or I-44, turn my signal on and leave it on, and drive down the road in silence. Hello, silence, my old friend. And I told Judy just the other day, I've got to get out for a little bit, I'll be back. And that's exactly what I did. Drive down the road, blinker going, air conditioning going full steam, and never have to hear your blinkers on. And if I ever get pulled over by a policeman and says your blinker's on, I'll have to say, you've been talking to my wife. Rahab's faith. How many are glad that you've got Rahab's faith? You do? I'm glad I ain't got her sin, but we got Rahab's faith. And what a blessing it is. Stand with me. We're going to give an invitation. Are you glad you came? Hello. You glad you came? Praise the Lord. Good old Wednesday night, serving the Lord, praising God, giving God glory. And when you go home tonight, I realize that I sliced off a little bit of meat, but it didn't probably completely made you get real sorted out. So go home and read this chapter 2 of Joshua, and then go to chapter 6 and read it and see the different words he uses for that instrument, that rope, that cord that the spies came down of, and the different wording it uses, because that's not by accident. It's a different Hebrew word, and it's not by accident that it's that way. And I thank God I've got a scarlet thread hanging out the window. I'm glad I've got blood of Jesus on my life. And I'm glad that God's focused on my little dwelling, my home, my children, my family. And he's promised to save those that will come to him. Thank God for that. Altar's open. You're welcome to come.